Hi there, and welcome to Insomnia Open Class. Hope you're doing really, really well. I clicked the go live button and I was just like pondering, and maybe why I looked a little confused for a second there. But anyway, super glad to be here. Hope this will be a really valuable video for you. And as we are, waiting for some questions to come in, I want to see if I have any announcements. I don't think I have any particular announcements, actually. But I, of course, have something to share while we're, again, waiting for questions, which is something that came up just about an hour ago. So on Wednesdays, I do one-on-one calls with clients. And the first client that I had this morning shared something that was really, really helpful to her. So I want to share it with you as well. And this was really something she'd learned from Coach Michelle, and it was about reframing success, reframing what we think of as success. And I see it, several people have joined already. So again, feel free to write your questions in the comments, and I'll reply here live. Reframing success. So when we are in this struggle with sleep, it's very natural to think of success in terms of how much we sleep and how we sleep, of course. Loomis, thanks for the question. I'll reply in a second. And that's very natural. We sleep little, so we want to sleep a lot. So when we sleep a lot, that's success. And then when we don't sleep well, it's kind of failure. And we can so easily see that that leads to performance anxiety, because if we think success is sleeping a lot, then we think we should sleep a lot, but we don't have control over that. That alone makes us anxious. And when we do sleep, we naturally be celebrating, yes, I did it. But then that just creates more profound anxiety, because how do I do it again, right? And on the flip side, when we don't sleep much, then it's like, oh, I failed. What's wrong with me? Why can't I get this right? Which is self-criticism. And it also creates performance anxiety, because we don't want that. So we can see how that creates a struggle. So if we're not thinking of how many hours we slept, as success or fail, what can we think of as success? Well, I think we can think of, that's a funny way of saying it. I think we can think of how we react to things as success. Meaning, for example, we had a night where we were like sweating and we woke up all the time and we were up half the half night and we were anxious, but we didn't criticize ourselves for that. We didn't try to escape. We were in that. We were willing to experience that. I think we can think of that as success. That we can think of as success. And also, I had, I hardly slept that night. I was up all night. But today, I was actually just kind to myself. I didn't criticize myself for it. I wasn't like, why couldn't I do anything? Like, why couldn't I get it right? I was just like, I was kind to myself. I was gentle with myself. I think we can think of that as success too. And when we reframe success in that way, it'd be super helpful, because both it takes away that performance anxiety and also leads to more and more self-kindness. And the client I spoke to today had a remarkable story, and I asked her if she wanted to be a guest on the channel. She said yes. I think she'll be here to share with us at some point soon. So yeah, with that said, let's jump in and look at what Loomis Creative is sharing here. Loomis said, I was sleeping better after making my bed a safe place, whether I slept or not. I could lay there safely. But after another supplement caused a night of insomnia, I am back to anxiety in bed. I sat with it all night in an open state, and as open state as possible. And although anxiety wasn't as horrible as it could be, the grip in my chest never went away and I got zero sleep. Help with hyper arousal, as normally I can sit with it and forget and get even a few hours of sleep. Thank you. All right. Well, let's go back here and say, I was really glad to hear that, after thinking of the bed as a safe place, the bed is safe if I sleep here or not, if I'm anxious in the bed or not, it's still safe. There's nothing wrong with my bed. I don't have to escape it. I think that can be so, so helpful, because so many times we see how when we start thinking of I can't be in my bed, I have to leave the bed, I have to jump out if I don't sleep, etc. That creates a lot of pressure, and then we're pressured to I have to be out of bed until I feel sleepy, and all that can be so, so tricky and so unhelpful. That the fact that The bed became the safe place, whether I slept or not. Wonderful. I'm just so glad to read those lines. I think it's super helpful and nice. But after another supplement causing that insomnia, I'm back to anxiety in bed. And, you know, we can see, and you can see here that, again, the bed is not really the focal point here. It's like, yes, a supplement costs a night of insomnia. Now, one just a little thing to add there is that, you know, to me, like I often say that a supplement or something like that cannot cause insomnia, but it can cause sleep disruption. Of course, anything can, right? You know, if we take some supplement, that can make us have like a little more choppy sleep, like, you know, like a medication can do, or pain can do, or noise can do. That can cause sleep disruption, like disruptive sleep. But that's very different from insomnia. If we take a, let's say, supplement and we're awake more than we normally would be, but we're not afraid of being awake, then it wouldn't cause insomnia. We'd just be like, yeah, I was awake a little more than I because of the supplement, and we wouldn't think more about it, right? But it's really the fear of being awake that creates insomnia. So we can take a supplement, we happen to be awake more, and then we're like, oh no, I'm awake, and the fear of being awake causes insomnia. So I think that helps to know, because when we think that many things can cause insomnia, that gets us confused. But we can see that, no, the only thing that can cause insomnia, the way I define it, is the fear of not sleeping. That can help simplify things a little bit. So now when we go, if we go to the second message here, Lumi says, I sat with it all night in an as open of state as possible. And although anxiety wasn't as horrible as it could be, the grip in my chest never went away and I got zero sleep. So, I mean, it's nice to hear that it wasn't as horrible as it could be. And I think maybe that is thanks to this willingness to experience the fear and anxiety, et cetera, right? But what we see here is still, there's an element of like attempt to have control here. There's an element of cause and effect here. There's an element of thinking, all right, if I am willing, like if I'm willing to sit here and experience this, it will go away. If I'm willing to experience this, it will go away. Like Lumi says here, I still, like the grip in my never went away and I got zero sleep, which is sort of like, you know, naturally, like understandably frustrating, but it comes from a place of being like thinking that we can somehow control our emotions. And what can be so paradoxical here is that, but Daniel, you always say that if we're willing to experience, you know, anxiety, then things will get easier. And I fully believe that, but it can easily become sort of a trick. Like, you know, it's like, okay, if I am willing to experience this, it will go away. But then we're not willing to experience this because we're like, the willingness to be open and experience something has just become a way to try to push it away again, right? And an analogy I often use is like looking for my glasses, which I do all the time. And, you know, we hear often here, like, if you can't find your glasses, well, when you stop looking, then you'll find them. And we can imagine someone saying like, dang it, I've been not looking for my glasses for 3 hours and I still can't find them. You know, we see like not looking for our glasses here became like an effort to try to find them. And this like openness to be willing to experience like anxiety, for example, the brain can turn that into a trick and another kind of effort to make it go away. And when we just see that, when we see that, aha, there was an element of trying to make it go away there. I wasn't really open to it fully, right? Then again, there's no reason for self-criticism or anything like that. We can just see like, aha, okay, that's what happened. And we can yeah, again, go back towards like, it's okay to experience this. I can be open with it. And when you're truly open with it, when you're like, I am okay with feeling this, no matter how painful it is, then, you know, then we're hearing the message from the brain. The brain doesn't need to amplify anxiety thoughts and worry thoughts, and things get easier. So that's what I read here, or that's what I thought when I read this, Loomis. And hope that made sense. You can let me know in the comments if it did, and hang in there. And thanks for being here and sharing. So yeah, with that said, we'll look at what Maturo has to say here. Maturo says, hello, Daniel, I'm from Germany. Unfortunately, I've been suffering from insomnia since September 2021 and related anxiety. I was also in clinic for 9 weeks and was treated with medications. Maturo says, and psychotherapy, I must have had a depressive phase as well and have tried many things to fall asleep again. My body's still very stressed from my thinking and my nervous system has been overheated. I also had massive twitches and these are now less through the understanding of your videos. Whether I sleep or not, I always feel totally fit. I get good sleep and bad sleep from time to time. these are not restful. And from time to time, I don't even know if I'm sleepy. I can't relax anymore. And I don't feel that nice relaxation in my body anymore. And that annoys me a ton, I think. I want to heal and live my life again. I'm letting go of the topic more and more. But I have a hard time understanding the bizarre situation with the tiredness. Okay. Let's keep that one here. And thanks for being here and sharing, Maturo. And I should have said this earlier, but of course, always here. Nothing's medical advice, just me sharing like general thoughts and principles here. The tiredness, there was something else. Twitches, I wanted to comment on. Stress, psychotherapy. I forget. There was something else I thought I would like to comment on. Oh, yeah, just this one. I don't even know if I'm sleeping. I can't relax anymore. There's a concept here we talk about that we call hypersleep, which can be so helpful to know about, because this is an experience that scares a lot of people. And a lot of people think, you know, I'm on the wrong track. What's happening? What's this? What am I doing? And this is when they experience a mix of like sleep with hyperarousal. When we are sleeping, but we're also hyperarousal, we're also kind of stressed. And it, actually, a lot of us experience that off in a certain context, which is like, for example, you have to be up really early for like a train or a flight or a journey or something like that. We have to be up at like, you know, 4:30 not to miss our flight. Well, then often we have this like hypersleep where we are hyperarousal and we have vivid and bizarre dreams. We have like maybe nightmares. We wake up a ton. We're not sure if we're asleep or not. We feel like we were in this state of like superficial sleep mixed with wakefulness, and time skips ahead. We feel like time just skips ahead. We're not even sure we slept or not. We call that hypersleep. And knowing that, that's just another way we experience hyperarousal, and that the hypersleep fades out when our understanding is increased and we're not afraid, that can really help. So we don't think that hypersleep is something really strange. Maturman says, how should I deal with the current situation? Well, I think, yeah, education is really so helpful. So what we just talked about can help. And also on the topic of the tiredness, I think understanding the bizarre situation with the tiredness, well, the word bizarre, I think to me signifies like mystery, something strange, we don't understand it. And just, again, education can help with that. When we think something is bizarre, then that alone is kind of alarming to us and we look for something, a way to fix it. So understanding is really helpful. And tiredness or fatigue, I think is it's so, so common that, you know, that drives our insomnia, because if we're like, I'm so tired, so fatigued, so exhausted. And that's, of course, because I don't sleep so much. So I have to sleep more to not feel this tired. Well, you can see that leads to performance anxiety. We want to achieve more sleep. We're pressuring ourselves to sleep more. So, but then the question becomes, so how do I deal with this? I am really tired and I'm not sleeping much. Well, I think there are two things I really want to say here. One is that, yes, of course, it is true that if you take any random person and that person normally sleeps, let's say, about 7 hours per night, and you make that person sleep like 3 hours, they will feel tired. This is true. That will happen. But the same person will probably not struggle that much. They'll be like, yeah, I'm tired, but of course I'm tired, didn't sleep much. And it won't become this all-consuming, self-perpetuating, huge struggle that just takes more space in their life, because it's, you know, there's no fear of not sleeping. There's no fear of being tired. So my first point here is like, yes, sleeping less can make us humans tired, but that doesn't automatically create struggle. That's kind of the first point. And the second point is that as odd as it sounds, tiredness or fatigue often really acts like an emotion. And so when I teach about fatigue, I often teach that fatigue can be like a clue or a cue. And so let's talk about cues and clues for a second here. So a cue is something that's very obvious, a very obvious signal from our bodies that that prompt us to do something specific. Like, I'm hungry. Okay, that's a cue for me to eat. That's it. That's a cue. Or I'm cold. That's a cue for me to put something warm on. And that's it. Right? That's the cue. And oftentimes we can think, oftentimes fatigue can be a cue, actually. Like, you know, I ran half a marathon. Now I'm tired, and that's a signal for me to rest, you know? And when we rest, we feel good again. That's when fatigue acts as a cue, very simple. But it can also be a clue. sometimes our fatigue can be from a not like bodily fatigue, but more like an emotional fatigue, a more deep-rooted exhaustion that comes from a struggle that we feel like we're not making any progress. Nothing helps. We feel tired, sad, hopeless. This is like this emotional fatigue, right? And the thing is that emotions behave in a very predictable way. They are messages to us, you know? And when we try to suppress a message, the body, the brain rather, will try to amplify it because it wasn't heard. Silly example, but if you ever been in a very serious situation, you feel like, oh no, this is funny. I can't giggle here, but I want to. Like, we try to suppress that happiness, then we just feel more happy. Like we almost can't help it. And fatigue, emotional fatigue, this behaves the same way. The more we're like, oh man, I'm so drained and exhausted. I don't want this. What can I do to escape this? How can I feel like I should try this? I have to try this. I don't want this. Then it's like the body's like, oh, you don't understand. Like, you don't get this message. I'm gonna amplify this message now. So in a weird way, when we try to escape emotional fatigue, we get even more drained. So what can really help with this is, first of all, education, understanding this, but then almost like we teach here about like befriending wakefulness. It's like befriending fatigue, being like, yes, I am exhausted. Yes, I am tired. And that's okay. It's natural to feel like that, both for the fact that I didn't sleep well, and there can be an emotional fatigue here as well. Understanding that, befriending it, not punishing ourselves for it, that can really make things lighter and brighter for us humans. So that came to mind here as I was reading. Maturo, Mero, I hope that made sense. And yeah, thanks for being here and sharing. And with that said, let us see what Sam has to share today. Sam says, hi Daniel. Normally I sleep well, but I get strong anxiety about my sleep the night before important event like exams. I then end up sleeping horribly. Do you have any advice? Thanks for all you do. Sam, yeah, you know, first of all, I would say this is a very, very common situation, not to belittle, you know, what you're going through in any way, but it always helps to know that it is very, very common. And I think the first thing here is like, okay, this is sort of like very obvious, but just seeing that all humans can have this experience. Like, you know, myself, before I have to travel or something like that, I typically have pretty choppy sleep, very, very normal. And it just helps to see like, okay, it's normal to have less sleep before something important. It's just the brain's way of making sure we perform at our highest possible level, like we're alert. Just seeing that as normal is so helpful, because then we're not going to fight that. We're not going to try to stop it. That can help. And secondly, like if we've had trouble sleeping in the past, then of course this can be a little bit exaggerated. The normal, quote unquote, normal sleeplessness that all humans have before something important can be kind of compounded by the fear of not sleeping that we've had in the past, right? Which makes it even more normal that we have some choppy sleep before an exam. And the more it seems like normal, the more we're not gonna, again, try to fight it, and the more the whole reaction fades out. And finally, like the final thing to add here is like, there's another way to think of this and meet this as well, which is kind of like bifurcated, like the two other things we can do here, which one is like detective work and looking at other times when we had a big exam and we hardly slept before it, and look at how did we do on that exam. And oftentimes we can find we did just fine. We did just fine. That can take a lot of pressure off. And then finally, you know, when we're anxious and we're thinking about the exam and thinking about sleep and everything, we can also go down the path of like, you know, being willing to sort of like think about what we're so afraid of. Imagine what we're so afraid of. Okay, I'm going to be up. We're afraid of like, I'm going to be up there all night and I'm going to tank this exam. And then we can be like, I'm going to imagine that happening. You know, not that we have to be happy with it, but just like we're willing to sort of like really see what the brain is warning us about, like really hearing the message, like, okay, maybe I'll flunk this exam. And then, you know, the message was heard, you know, we're imagining exactly what the brain is trying to warn us about. And we're not trying to resist that. That can really help. So yeah, Sam, I hope those thoughts were helpful to you, and thanks for all your support. And with that said, let's see what Pisa wants to share with us today. Pisa says, after leaving insomnia land, may we return to it, or it'll be forever gone. Like, we will never have it again. Yeah, that's a great question. Great question. And you know, on one hand, you know, one of, I think, the universal truths is impermanence, right? there's nothing that is really permanent in life except change, right? So, you know, is it possible that we can return to Insomnia Land after we left it? Anything is possible, but I do think it's also true that there is such a thing as immunity, right? I truly believe in immunity. And what I mean by that is every human being will have like a night of choppy sleep, some struggle sleeping, right? And even if we had kind of, we've understood exactly why we had insomnia and why it happened, you know, we can still be drawn into some struggle again. But I do think that we have, when we have seen what I'm about to share very, very clearly, and we believe it, then I really don't think there's any likelihood at all that we will go back into a real struggle again. And what is that? Well, it's what Coach Alina calls her ultimate truth. She saw after like a year-long struggle that, you know, something came to her mind, and it was a realization that she couldn't do anything to sleep better. She can sound so disappointing and frustrating, like how is that helpful when you hear it the first time? Like, but she said it brought her a lot of relief, and she saw that there's really nothing I can do. And so when people ask me like, do you think I'm ready to like leave this program or whatnot? I always ask like, okay, I'm gonna give you the statement and see how you feel. So I say like, okay, imagine this. There's nothing you can do to control your sleep or to sleep better. If that makes you feel kind of angry and frustrated, maybe anxious, then maybe stay and learn some more. But if that makes you feel like just relief, then I think, you know, you have left Insomnia Land, and or you're about to leave Insomnia Land. And when that rings true to you, I really think that, you know, you will not go back to Insomnia Land. That's how I think about it. So I think there is such a thing as immunity, and I think it's available for anyone. Really, anyone who wants to willing to do some education and learning, 100%. Peace. I hope that made sense. And let's look at a question from Boeing 737-800. Hey, after having three bad nights in the end of June, I was obsessed with the idea of having sporadic fatal insomnia and or the Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. I was so afraid of it until last Sunday. After watching your video with Casper from Denmark, I got over the fear of CJD, but the sleep issues are still existing. Is this normal? First of all, I'm so glad you came across that video with Casper. Like Casper, he emailed me, and his mother had died, and you know, from SFI, and I mean, he wanted to turn this into something that could help others, and that's just amazing that he did that, and it's amazing that that's happening. Like you are an example of that, so that makes me so, so glad. Now, what I so often, you know, when one of the most common questions on this channel is like, okay, I haven't slept at all. I think I may have SFI, you know, very, very common. And when I see that, I think, okay, this is, you know, nothing medical advice, you know, always talk to your doctor when you're worried about health. But what I think when I see that is like, this is somebody who has insomnia. This is somebody who has become really afraid of being awake. This is somebody who's become really afraid of not sleeping. And that's why they struggle so much. So I would say, in the context of that, I don't think it's strange at all when somebody realizes, of course, no, this is not SFI. I realize it's not that, but they still have some struggle, right? Because that fear of not sleeping, which I call insomnia, it can be quite tricky. Like we can have so many ideas around this, and we can be really engaged in the struggle, and that struggle doesn't just automatically go away when we understand that, oh, I don't have this condition. We can still have that fear of not sleeping even when we understand that, oh, we don't have that, right? So I think that is not not surprising at all to me. And for somebody like yourself, I would just say, like, if you spend a little time here learning and educating yourself, I think, you know, things will get easier and easier. Very well. Jake is here. Jake, so glad to see you here. And thanks for that nice comment. You commented on you replied to a comment from Raju. It's really nice of you. So anyway, Jake says, hi, Daniel. Been having difficulty. I had a zero sleep night two nights ago. There was no real anxiety involved. Needless to say, I was worried. Why would I not sleep if I wasn't hyper aroused? This has been playing on my mind all yesterday. Last night, I don't know if I slept or not, but I feel pretty good, pretty rough today. This has been a worry for me for a while. since it makes me believe something bad is going wrong with me as hyperarousal isn't the occasion, at least not consciously. Any thoughts? Thanks for all you do. Jake, thank you. Thank you for all you do and all the support. And to me, when I hear this, I think of what I call the wonder wall. It's a teaching that comes up quite often, and it can be really strange. It can be really strange when we find ourselves like, I'm not anxious, but I'm not sleeping. Like, what's happening, right? But in a weird way, we sort of have the answer right there, because it's like, I'm not worried, I'm not anxious, so I wonder why I'm not sleeping. And to me, the answer is in the word wonder. You know, we're still curious, we're still wondering, we're still like, why is this happening? And the most common source of hyperarousal when it comes to insomnia is, of course, anxiety and fear. But it's helpful to remember that hyperarousal can come from curiosity or excitement or bewilderment. So when we're just wondering, like, wait, I'm not anxious, so I'm not sleeping. Well, there we sort of have the answer. It's the wonder wall. Like, we hit kind of a wall of not sleeping, if you will, when we're like wondering, right? And I think what's so nice here, of course, is that there wasn't that much anxiety and worry. That's super helpful. And also, when we also aren't so curious, when the curiosity also fades, then, you know, this also is not really a struggle anymore. So, yeah. Jake, I hope that made sense to you. And let's see. Let's do one more thing here. Let's just share this first. Lucy says, totally agree. The emotion of worry, tiredness feeds the fear and vice versa. I think it really takes the kind of breaking out of the whole thing. Think bigger picture. It really can be done. If we can let go and accept, we really will get through and sleep, can just find us back in, can start with gently just a little trust, and that can go a long time. This is beautiful. Lucy, thanks so much. And, you know, I think I've invited you before, but if you ever want to be a guest on the channel, please let me know. Terry has some really nice words. Your treasure, you are, because you're part of this, and this is amazing. Thanks so much for sharing that. Let's do this last one from Matt. Any thoughts on nocturia? You know, again, nothing is medical advice. There can be many, many reasons for nocturia, but if anyone wants to learn a bit more about this, I highly recommend a talking insomnia episode with Sarah. I don't remember the number, but I think there's only one Sarah in the talking insomnia playlist, so you can check that one out. She describes how she would find herself peeing like all the time. Like, I don't remember her number, like with the number she said, but she would like have to pee so, so many times, and saw that when her worry and fear around insomnia went away or faded out, like that stopped happening, right? And this is not only her, this is something we hear very, very often. And it's something that Dr. Claire Weeks talks about in her books, that like peeing all the time can be a sign of anxiety. And the way I think of it is like some things like heart beating really fast and like sweaty palms, that kind of makes sense. It's part of the fight or flight, right? We're getting ready to fight or escape. But peeing, like, that sort of doesn't seem to make sense as a part of a fight or flight reaction. But I've noticed myself that oftentimes before I record something or before something happens, I feel like a need to pee before that. And so I think of it as something like peeing can be sort of like something that we do in preparation of, you know, some upcoming like stress or struggle or something like that. And when we have become afraid of like the struggle that will happen at night, we can often be like, okay, I need to be ready, I need to pee. And then we have peed, but then we're like, oh, this is happening again, this is happening again, I need to be ready. And then we feel the need to pee again. So yeah, like frequently peeing can often be a sign of like hyperarousal as well. So that can be helpful to know. All right, we'll conclude here. Thanks so much, everyone, for being here. We had a very high attendance here today, so that's very nice to see. Yeah, as always, by the way, I should say, you're always welcome to check out our website if you would like some more coaching than you find here in the free videos. But if you find everything you need here, that is wonderful as well. So I'll conclude there and look forward to seeing you soon. Until then, bye-bye.